and I want to welcome you to the podcast for this week. On the podcast for this week, we're going once again to 2 Samuel chapter 21. We're going to read a little bit of scripture and then bring what the Lord's brought to my heart for you today, the Lord willing. Verse number 15, 2 Samuel chapter number 21. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint. And Ishbi-benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. And it came to pass after that, there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibbecai the Hushathite slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jeroboam, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature, that had on every hand 6 fingers, and on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number. And he also was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath, and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. All right. Now, there's a lot to be learned from the individual incidents and the individual names. We can dig and see what Ishbi-benob means, and we can dig and see what the hero, Sibbecai, who slew Saph, and in 1 Chronicles, Saph is named Sipai, and we can study the details of the names, and we can study the details of this fellow Elhanan, the son of Jeroboam of Bethlehemite. We can study all those details. We can. But the Lord's got a different message for you today. He's got a different message for us. And that message is, the giants never end. There's always one more giant. There's battle yet again with the Philistines. There's yet again battle in Gob with the Philistines. There's yet again a battle in Gath. And child of God, as hard as it is, you're never done with the giants. You're never really done with the giants. Now, if we look at this man, Saph, Sipai means, or it can mean in Hebrew, Jehovah is preserver. And this fellow Sibbecai, we can see that his name means Jehovah intervenes or entangles. I like that, intervenes or entangles. The Lord has his ways. The Lord has his purposes in each giant that we face. And the Lord will help us with each and every giant if we'll lean on him and lean on the family of God that we have. This last giant here, not even named. You know, I find it interesting that the 4th one's not named. All the other ones are. We have Goliath, we have Ishbi-benob, we have Saph. We find that the brother of Goliath was Lami. That's his name found in 1 Corinthians or 1 Chronicles. And I hope you'll go and study the names and study the meanings of the names. The Lord's not really given me liberty to find anything in the names and the specifics of the circumstances. And I've read some commentaries, and I've watched some videos of some people preaching about it and talking about these giants, and I thought to deal individually with all 4 of these incidents. And then the fact that 1 Chronicles only gives us the last 3 of these. This first battle with Ishbi-benob the chronicler does not even mention. And we talked about why that might be a few weeks back. We did. But the fact of the matter is, there's a bigger picture. We can learn a lot from specifics. But like I mentioned last week, there have been many times that I wish that I could have talked to my father or talked to deacons or former pastors of Macedonia Baptist Church and say, how did you handle this particular circumstance? I could ask. There were several circumstances back in the day that were significant issues. There were church splits. There were issues where people had to be removed from church membership. There were other issues. Some are recorded in the minutes of the church. Some are not. There's periods of time that there's a lot of minutes of meetings, and then there's periods of times that there's not. And those periods of time when there isn't minutes of church meetings sometimes could be the most interesting. And I would love to talk to my grandpa, RV, and I'd love to talk to him and ask him and say, that year that you were pastor at Macedonia, what did you learn? What did you learn from that? And it would be really interesting to hear it. It would be really interesting to hear the circumstances. But about a month ago, something happened to me that gave me a different perspective on it. And that something that happened to me was I outlived my father. And I don't feel worthy of that. My dad was a godly man. I looked up to my dad. I looked up to what he stood for and to who he was. But about a month ago, I passed him in age of when he died. He died pretty young. Or at least I think it's young now. Back then, I didn't think it was too young. Upper 50s is pretty old, I thought, at the time. But I've learned that upper 50s is not that old. And lower 60s is probably not going to be that old. And that's, now that I have lived longer than my father did, that's put a little bit different perspective on it for me. Because now, he never got to be as old as I am. And I've lived longer on this earth than he ever did. Now, my grandpa lived a whole lot longer than that. But I look back, and I wish I could ask questions about things. And then at the same time, I think, what could I actually learn from it? What could I learn from it that would meet my needs and my experience now? I mean, I would love to talk to him. Don't get me wrong. I'd love to talk to him. I'd love to hear the stories. I'd love to enjoy listening to the stories. But as far as how useful those could be, I have to recognize that my circumstances are different. My circumstances aren't the same as my dad's circumstances were, or my grandpa's circumstances. The situations that I'm going through, yeah, they're similar, but they're different people. There are different circumstances. It's a different age. There are different expectations in this age than there were 40 years ago or 32 years ago or however many years ago. Things are a little different. The generalities I can learn from. I can learn, rely on the Lord. He'll intervene. Rely on the Lord. He will preserve. Rely on the Lord. He will entangle you in the correct ways. Entanglements. You know, that's a statement and a half. The Lord entangles. That fellow Sibbecai. That's one of the meanings of his name. Sibbecai. Jehovah entangles. And we have to understand, as much as I could glean from their experience, I have the same Holy Ghost. I have the same Spirit. And as David watched these battles, and this first battle with Ishbi-Benob, David was at, but then David was not allowed to go to the other battles, and David had to let other people fight those battles. David was not the only giant killer, in other words. And that was a tough lesson for David to learn. And it was a tough lesson for the people around him to learn. David's not the only one that can kill giants. Abishai, he killed Ishbi-Benob and saved David's life. And then they got together and says, look, David, it's not your time anymore. Your time has passed. And understanding and being ready to pass on the torch to the next generation. You know, the worst thing we could possibly do as Christians is try to continue doing it all ourselves until it's too late to pass it on to the next generation. The next generation's not here to pass it on to. They weren't given things to do, and now they're out. And now they're not in church anymore. They weren't given things to do from the beginning. They weren't given ownership of things to do in the church and ownership of their own set, area. People need to be given opportunity. And some people need to be asked. Some people just need the opportunity. Some people will pick it up themselves. And some need permission. And it can be difficult to understand what's what and which one is involved. But these giants here represent those things. Abishai, he jumped to the rescue of his general and his king and took care of the giant. These other men, Sibekai, Elhanan, and Jonathan, they jumped to their jobs and they did the job. And David had to watch someone else kill the giant. It was no longer David's exclusive area, giant killing. Now, you know, that could be part of the problem sometimes in a church is when the torch doesn't get passed on soon enough. And you know, that's a tough thing to think about. Passing the torch. Being prepared to pass the baton. I still remember several years ago, our pastor at the time preached about three different times on this one subject. And the subject was passing the baton. Paul handing it off to Timothy. Paul almost waited too long. He wrote a letter to Timothy, but then the second letter to Timothy he wrote in a hurry, because the next day would very likely be his last. And so he writes this letter, to the second letter to Timothy, and he's passing on words of wisdom. In this case, it's almost deathbed wisdom, because tradition says he was killed the next day, taken before Nero the next day, and he was sentenced to be beheaded. That's tradition. Tradition says that. And I believe, based upon the way he wrote it, that he believed that he would die the next day. That's the way 2 Timothy is written. I've run my race. I've run my course. And I've kept the faith, he says. I finished my course, rather. That's the words used. Folks, we need to be passing the baton early. We need to be showing the younger folk how to kill the giants in their lives. How to take care of them. We need to be giving them instruction while we're still able to give them instruction. Because there may come a time that you're not able. You may wax faint. Now, I don't know why the Lord's having me dwell on this idea and dwell on this subject. I've got a strong thought about it, but I don't know why exactly. There are churches around where the pastor's been there a long time, and that pastor has been training up people. And you need to, pastors. You need to train up young men. You don't know. The Lord may take you out in a car wreck or something that you don't even know is going to happen. Well, that you don't know that's going to happen. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen so quick that you won't have time to pass the baton. You need to be training up people. You need to be nurturing folks in your church to take over if something happens to you, pastor or deacon. Now, I realize some churches don't have deacons. Some do. And each church does things a little differently. And that's okay. That's okay. You can do it. Your church can do it however your church sees fit to do it. Nothing wrong with that. But there needs to be understudies in the wings ready to go. There needs to be. And they need to be trained how to kill the giants. Again, I wish I could hear some of the advice from my grandpa and from my dad. And you know, as I get older, I remember a few things that my dad did tell me. But there was a lot of things that was hidden from me as a kid. And maybe it was right, maybe it wasn't. I don't know for sure, but the fact of the matter is, when it came to church business, things were kept pretty secretive. At least as far as I was concerned, I wasn't let in on a lot of things that was going on in the church at the time. And I really wished I had been. I really wished I'd been shown a few things when I was younger, and when I, you know, even as a teenager. And I've learned a few things over the years. But I hope that the Lord gives me the opportunity to train some giant killers. I hope the Lord gives me opportunity to nurture up some young men in the church that will take the reins as a pastor someday. Maybe not in this church, but maybe in another one. You know, unfortunately, a lot of our churches are aging out. The leadership is aging out, and there's no young people to take up the slack. And it's sad. It's sad to see these things happening in great churches, churches that have stood for years and years and years. And the young people are not interested anymore, it seems like. There are some. There are some. And I'm thankful for the young folk that we do have at Macedonia. We've got some young folk who are interested in serving the Lord. And I don't want to do anything to discourage them. And I need to give them some instruction on dealing with the giants. Dealing with giants that they might have to deal with in the church. And things that might be happening within the church. And showing them the ropes, so to speak. David didn't do that, apparently. It fell to Abishai, who was a seasoned warrior, to help him out. But then, we have three other men. And they rise to the occasion. David, the giant killer, is out of commission now. And there's more battles. There's a battle here and a battle there. And there's another battle. And there's a giant in that battle. And there's a giant in this battle. And there's a man of great stature in that battle. You're never going to be done with the giants. But it may be that someone else has to take care of them. Child of God, preacher, pastor, deacon. It may be time to pass the baton. It may be time to start nurturing the person who's going to take over 20 years down the road. You know, one of my former pastors actually said that to some folks said, well, Brother Lamar, he's here and he's a preacher and he's got a family. He'd be a perfect pastor. And I happened to overhear. I says, well, maybe in 20 years, brother. And guess what? It's 20 years. Not to the day, but it was right at 20 years when the church elected me pastor. Now, I'd been filling in for a little while before they actually elected me officially pastor. But I had to be prepared. I had to learn more. I had to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord even more before it was my time. And preachers, nurture. Nurture those young men that's underneath you in the, I shouldn't really say underneath, but nurture those young men who are following behind you. And help them and show them. Be a good example to them. Show them how the giants can be dealt with. But also show them the caution that needs to be exercised when you deal with giants. David almost got killed by that giant Ishbi-Benob. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. These giants are dangerous. The giants really are dangerous, child of God. But there's never an end to them. The battles will come and the battles will go and there'll be another battle. There'll be another battle down the highway. And it may be a battle similar to what you faced when you was a young man. And now you're not a young man. And it's time for a young man to take on that battle. And for you to encourage them from the sidelines and let them fight that battle. It may be time. There are battles. I have seen my role change in my church over the years. I've seen how the Lord's dealt with me change over the years. And that's why even if I could get advice from my grandpa or from my dad or from some of the old deacons of the church, I could mention many, many, many names, but time would fail me to mention the names that I should mention. Of men who I wish I could ask questions of. But they're going to tell me the same thing. They're all going to tell me the same thing. They're going to say, you need to go with God. You need to have faith in God that He has the solution to your problem right then. Because that's what they had to do. The solution for them was not the same as the solution the previous generation either. And the solution for me, the solution for you, is not going to be the same. This last giant mentioned here, the one with 4 and 20 fingers and toes, 6 on each hand, 6 toes on each foot, that man was not killed with a sling stone like Goliath was. He was killed differently by a different man. Each giant had its own unique demise. Each giant had its own unique weaponry. Each giant had its own unique time. And even if I could get advice from my ancestors, that advice would be just very general and would say, go with God. Trust the Lord. See what He has to say about it. Here's some scripture that might help you. It would be so wonderful. It would be. But I've got the same Lord. I've got the same Holy Ghost. I've got the same Word of God as they did. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. I Want to Know More is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silver Spring community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please email broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, broadcast@lamarowen.net. And join us here again next week for I Want to Know More.